Members Lewis back then, he was about, let's just say he was as round as he was tall. All right, and he had the little patch the pirate sailor hat on, and that little round body on him, and we've got a picture of them doing all that. So they're going to start the Patch the Pirate Club next week, which gives them a curriculum to use and a program, all that. We are praying for someone to help with that program downstairs without using people that are already busy on Sundays. So that's what it is. So you pray about that if you would. I was sitting in my office before church started, looking over my notes here as the bus pulled up. I told Brother Lewis, I said, that bus looked like one of those clown cars, because the side door opened and people came pouring out of there, and it didn't stop. They just kept coming and coming. I'm not sure how many he had on there tonight, but there was a good load of kids on that bus. And so we praise the Lord for that. They're all downstairs in that program right now. Brother Lewis is doubling up with the youth and the children at this time. So you pray that we can find another way to take care of that need that we have down there. All right, Brother Travis, if you'll come and help me, please. We will be in the book of Hosea tonight. The book of Hosea. Yes, Bill.
I think we need to realize that these kids that are starting school this week are under a lot of pressure from other students and from faculty and people that are trying to give credit to God and take them out of the school. They need our prayers. What they hear in school and taught nowadays is nothing like we were taught in school. And I think they need our prayers as these kids go back to school. The teens are under a lot of pressure and peer pressure themselves. They must be pretty low down and say things, without saying what it is. I think children.
Amen. Yes, sir. That's a good point. Thank you. I'll share this. Lily's downstairs now, but she is fearful of going back to school. She has had a very good summer between going to camp and the tent meeting and VBS. She's really gotten spiritually revived. In fact, she had a hearing, and the judge saw such a difference in her attitude after church camp this summer. They could have given her a harsher punishment for some things, but they didn't, because they believe they saw sincerity there. And she is honestly concerned about going back to school, because when school starts up, she's back around the same kids that do not have a good influence on her, and it's just her personality that she's not a leader, she's more of a follower. And so that makes it difficult for her. So I would especially ask you to pray for her. She's with us at least till October right now, and we see where it goes from there. But you pray for her as she goes back, and then the other kids, all of the kids that Brother Bill mentioned going back into school. It's different from the summer. They can be around the church all the time, all the things, the activities going on, but when school starts, it's back to the norm, and the norm usually is not real well. So thank you for those comments, Brother Bill. All right, the book of Hosea tonight. The book of Hosea. Did you know Hosea was a book in the Bible? I hope you knew that. Help me get to the book of Hosea. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Man, that's a long way. That's a long way to get to Hosea. The book of Hosea is the first book of the minor prophets. That's our first word on the outline tonight. The first book of the minor prophets. Can I point out something? I didn't put this in the paper. I just thought it's unusual, and I'm not sure why yet. But you notice when I do these papers every week, it's the book of Genesis, the book of, and it's all in italics because that's the name of it, the book of the prophet Isaiah. the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Well, when we get to Hosea, there's something that changes. It's no longer the book of. Go through all the ones, the book of 1st and 2nd Samuel. But when we get to these 12 minor prophets, it's Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Jonah, Nahum. It's just their name. There's no the book of and all that. And that's kind of unusual. It's different from all the rest, except for one. I had to go back and check. Ezra is also that way. It's just Ezra, not the book of. Now, I don't have a reason for that. I don't have an explanation for that, but I know that nothing's accidental. And so these 12, and notice the book of Hosea is the first of the minor prophets, also known as, that's what AKA is, also known as the 12, from Hosea to Malachi, the 12 minor prophets. Now, they're not called minor prophets because they're of less importance or less significance than Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. It's not that they're minor compared to those major, but that these 12 books are, in essence, shorter or smaller than those are. Now, with Zephaniah, and even with Hosea's got 14 chapters, whereas Daniel's got 12, it's kind of a little bit different, but generally speaking, those major prophets are called that because they have a larger content than these others do. So it's not because they're less important, less of prophets, it's just the categorizing that we have put on them. You remember this, the first 17 books of the Old Testament are historical. 17 of them. And they were divided into categories. 5, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and the other 12. So we had 17 divided into 5 and 12. Then we had 5, the 5 books of poetry. Then we get 17 again. 17, 5, and 17. The 17 books of prophecy. And those are divided 5 and 12, just like the historical books were divided 5 and 12. These are divided 5 and 12. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel are the 5, and then the other 12 are the 12 minor prophets. These 12 minor prophets emphasize two things. And this is why they're put together. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, these are not in chronological order. As we're going to see tonight, Hosea preached after Isaiah did, but he preached before Daniel did. So they're not in chronological order, but they're all put together because they have two constant themes, and that is the return of Christ at the second advent, and that's your blank there. The 12 minor prophets emphasize the return of Christ at the second advent, and we're going to see that as we go through these 12 books. The minor prophets emphasize Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. You know what that was? That was about current problems. That was about the Assyrian invasion and the Babylonian invasion. And though there were some prophetical elements in it, it was all about what was going on right then. These 12, though there's a little bit about what's going on there, the major emphasis is the return of Christ at the second advent and the future restoration of Israel. The future restoration of Israel. One of my favorite websites for commentaries. It's an unusual name. It's called Precept, P-R-E-C-E-P-T, Precept Austin, AUSTIN.org. PreceptAustin.org. And when I go on there, and I do that every week when I'm studying these Old Testament books, I use that as one of my sources. When I go on there, I can click on commentaries. Then it brings up all the books of the Bible. And for this, I clicked on Hosea. Then it brings up Hosea again. I have to click on commentaries again, so I'm not getting the charts or the pictures or all that. And I go to the commentaries, and they're listed in alphabetical order. Albert Barnes is usually one of the first ones. Gabeline under the G's. And then it goes down, Spurgeon, all these different ones. And there's little comments at the top that someone has put there. And for most of these in Hosea, they will say, read this with caution, because they replace Israel with the church in the book of Hosea. And that's what we're talking about, the restoration of Israel. When Hosea talks about, and we're going to see it tonight, when he talks about Israel's future, many of those commentators, we call them amillennial, they don't believe in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Many of these commentators will take all these promises that belong to Israel and say, no, that's talking to the church. That's about the church. And they're robbing Israel of their future restoration. The Bible is very clear that God is not done with the nation of Israel. Romans 9, 10, and 11 give us Israel's past, present, and future. We saw in our study of the book of Revelation that he's not done with the nation of Israel. These prophets from Hosea to Malachi just emphasizes, load us with information that Israel has been set aside, and I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll see it in chapter 3 of Hosea. Israel's been set aside for a time, but it's going to be restored. They're going to be God's people all over again. I emphasize this because this is something that is dividing good fundamental Bible believing churches. Now, it's something that we dealt with 100 years ago and should have been buried and gone, but it's raised its ugly head again. And there's a lot of division being caused in churches by people now that are pushing this, what they call replacement theology, that the church has replaced the nation of Israel. And you can't read the Old Testament prophets with their Jewish emphasis and come across with those things. God's not done. And so we see the return of Christ to the second advent and the restoration of Israel. Hosea's name means the Lord saves, or the Lord is salvation, something along that line. That's what the name Hosea means. It is the equivalent of the name Joshua in the Old Testament and the name Jesus in the New Testament. Both of those names mean the same thing. Different spellings, same name. Look if you would, this is not in our page here, but look at Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. They're numbering the people that are trying to go into the land of Canaan. Send thou men, verse 2, that they may search the land of Canaan. And among those spies that are sent in, look at verse 8. Of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. Now look down at verse number 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, that's the one we just read about in verse 8, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. Or as he's called later, Joshua. It's the same name. The spellings are a little bit different because there was not uniform spellings all the time back there. In fact, Hosea in the New Testament in Romans chapter 9 is quoted by the Apostle Paul, and it calls him Osee, O-S-E-E. Sometimes these names can be confusing. And there are actually 5 Hoseas in the Bible. This one is only mentioned 3 times. He's mentioned in verse number 1, the word of the Lord that came to Hosea. He's mentioned in verse 2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, actually 2 times there. And then he's mentioned over in the New Testament in Romans chapter 9. So 3 places, 4 times. He is mentioned by name 4 times in the scripture in 3 different places. Hosea 1, Hosea twice in Hosea verse 2, and Romans 9:25. And you say, well, he must not be a very important prophet if he's only mentioned that many times in all the Bible. But let's go on to say that he is quoted at least 8 times in the New Testament. That puts a little more weight on his prophetic office. That though his name appears only 4 times in the scripture, he is quoted at least 8 times in the New Testament. You've got the references there. Matthew, 3 times in Matthew, once in Luke, twice in Romans in verse 25 and 26, once in 1 Corinthians, that famous passage about the rapture, and in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 10. Hosea is a much overlooked prophet. We're going to give him his due tonight. Because he was definitely a faithful servant of the Lord. Though his name not often mentioned, his prophecies often quoted, Hosea was a faithful prophet. Think, if you would, about some of the things that God asked men to do. God asked Noah to build an ark. Some of you have been down to Kentucky and seen the size, that life-size replica of the ark. And the minute you see it, you are just amazed at the size. No matter how much we look at the book of Genesis and talk about the measurements of the cubits and the spans and all and the furlong, all that kind of stuff, when you first see that full, that life-size thing, you just can't imagine how big it was, and that eight people built that. Four men and their wives, helping alongside, built that gigantic ark over 100-plus years of time. That was quite a task that God gave to a man. Some of the tasks He gave were odd. He asked one prophet, and we studied that recently, He asked one prophet, or told one prophet, that his wife was going to die, and he wasn't allowed to cry when his wife passed away. We looked at the reason for that when we studied that, and so there was a reason behind it, but what an unusual request for a guy. We looked at another prophet who was told to walk naked for 3.5 years. I mean, that would get people's attention. And that's what God did. God had them do strange things to get the people's attention. Because we are strange. And it takes strange things to get our attention. So God has called upon some men to do some very unusual, strange things. Can you imagine Noah's neighbors watching him build that boat? He's not near a lake. He's not near an ocean. He's building this gigantic thing. It's an eyesore to the neighborhood. Probably doesn't have the right colors, you know, to get through the neighborhood watch and all that kind of stuff. But everything that God asked those men to do was something that got attention. God was doing that on purpose. I don't know of a man that was called to do anything more unusual than Hosea. Hosea was called upon God to be an object lesson, just like these others that we've mentioned, to the nation of Israel. God asked him to do something that would be seen and noticed by everybody. His personal life, and that's what chapters 1 to 3 are all about. There's a division of the book of Hosea, and we'll get to it in a minute. Chapters 1 to 3, chapters 4 to 14. Chapters 1 to 3 are all about his personal life. And we're going to see in our outline that in those three chapters, he paints a picture of the condition of the nation of Israel in chapters 4 to 14. Chapters 1 to 3 are very key. They are the key to the book of Isaiah. Because if you don't understand what's going on in chapters 1, 2, and 3, you'll not get chapters 4 to 14. And chapters 1 to 3 are very strange and unusual. Notice chapter 1. Hosea was commanded to marry a woman of whoredoms. Look at Hosea chapter 1, verse number 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord to Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. Here's a young prophet of the Lord that's kept himself pure his whole life. Kept himself clean. Maybe anticipating that day that he presents himself to a clean, pure bride. And then God comes along and says, no, Hosea, that's not my plan for you. I want you to marry a whore. Now, that's a pretty strong word, but that's the word God uses. In fact, 16 times we find the word whoredom or whoredoms or whoring in the book of Isaiah, because that is a key. That is a key. God is using Hosea as a picture story. And he tells him to marry a woman of whoredoms who would bear children of whoredoms. After his wife, and notice this, look at verse 3. So he went and took Gomer. Now don't think of Gomer Pyle. That's not the woman he took, all right? So he took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived, notice these words, and bare, underline this word, him a son. And bear him a son. So why is that? Boy, you got to pay attention to the words in the Bible. There's a lot of there that people just don't get because they're not understanding. Every word of God is pure. It says she bare him a son. Verse 4, the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Judah. All right, go down to verse 6. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. Notice it doesn't say, and bare him a daughter. She conceived again. Children of whoredoms. She had that first child with Hosea. And after that, she went back to her old ways. Because that second child doesn't say she bore him. The first one went out of the way to say, and bare him. The second one says that she conceived and bare a daughter. And called unto him, and God sent her, call her name Lo Ruhama. The word Lo is a negative. Not. So here it means, I will have no mercy. Ruhama means I will have mercy. Lo Ruhama means I will have no mercy. Why was God telling Hosea to name this child, I'll have no mercy? Because it wasn't his child. Then it says in verse number 8, now when she had weaned Lo Ruhama, she conceived and bare, no him, and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo Ami. Ami means my child or my people. Lo Ami means not my child, not my people. So after bearing him a son, she then in her whoredom, while married to Hosea, had two more children by someone else while married to Hosea. Now remember, look at the end of verse 2. All this is happening. The Lord says, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. God is using this prophet Hosea as a picture of his relationship with the nation of Israel. That they have gone a whoring from him. What a place to be in as a prophet of God. To be used in such a way through this heartbreaking situation. And so she has two different children. I need to get back to my outline because I've completely forgotten about it, all right? After his wife bare him a son, she bore two more children who were not his children. I look at chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 to emphasize that. We'll talk about this more in a minute, but in chapter 2, he gives word to his son to tell his mother, I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms, for their mother hath played the harlot. All right, let's jump ahead to chapter 2. Hosea puts away his wife. He says in verse 2, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. He puts her away. But he encourages his son, Jezreel, to say to your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhama. Notice the low is not there. Reach out to your brother. Reach out to your sister. They're still your kin. They're still your people. All right, that's what God is doing, sending them prophets daily. Though God was pronouncing judgment on the nation, on the woman, God was still trying to reach her seed and trying to bring them back to himself. So he speaks to his son and says, go and talk to your mother. Talk to her, talk to your children, reach out to your siblings, verse 1. Reach out to your mother, verse 2. Plead with your mother, for she is not my wife. Neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. He asked Jezreel to reach out to his mother, albeit with words of punishment. We don't have time to go from verse 3 down to verse 17. We're going to find the phrase, I will, in our key phrases later. Notice verse 9, therefore will I return. Verse 10, and now will I discover. Verse 11, I will also cause. Verse 12, I will destroy her vines. The end of verse 12, I will make them a forest. Verse 13, I will visit upon her days. Verse 14, therefore behold, I will allure her. Verse 15, I will give her vineyards from thence. Middle of verse 18, I will break the bow. Verse 19, I will betroth thee. I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness. Verse 20, I will even betroth thee. Verse 21, it shall come to pass in the day, I will hear, even the Lord, I will hear. Verse 23, I will sow, I will have, I will say. This is not only Hosea speaking about his wife of whoredoms, this is a picture of the Lord speaking about the nation of Israel. Hosea's life was a picture story to the nation of Israel to get their attention that they were the woman. They were the unfaithful wife. That though God loved them, the Lord loved them, they were unfaithful to Him. And so in chapter 2, Hosea puts away his wife but encourages his son to make that reunion. Then in chapter 3, verse number 1, and then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. This is the same woman. Hosea is told to go find her. You know, he finds her. She's been sold in the market for so many pieces of silver, half the value of a slave. She is an adulteress. This text calls her verse number 3, a harlot. She's dirty. She's defiled. And yet God says to Hosea, go get her. Bring her back. And so Hosea does. It's a picture of what the Lord is going. Remember we told you the theme of these minor prophets is the restoration of Israel. That's what God is picturing here in this story of Hosea and his bride. Though you are unfaithful, though you are filthy, though you are idolatrous, adulterous, I will bring you back. He says at the end of verse 5, he says in verse 3, thou shalt abide for me many days. In other words, he gets her back, but he sets her aside, puts her in a room, no relationship with her, no marriage with her, so to speak. He puts her aside until the end of verse 5, until the latter days. And that's a picture of the church age. That God has set the nation of Israel aside right now because of her whoredoms, because of her spiritual idolatry. God has set her aside until, verse 4, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, without a teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. These first three chapters give us a 3-point outline of Hosea marrying this adulterous woman. Putting her away, then getting her back again, but setting her aside for a time till he can bring her back and restore her at the end. And that all is a picture of the nation of Israel with his people. All of this was a picture to Israel of how they had not only broken God's law, but also God's heart. Poor Hosea. Don't ever get over the fact of what this guy sacrificed for God. Marrying a whorish woman. Now I'll tell you this, some of the commentators try to make it easy. Try not to make it so harsh. Oh, God would never ask somebody to do that. Well, don't bet on it. He asked the prophet to walk around naked. He asked those other prophets to do things. Don't say God would never do that. And don't change it because you don't think it sounds apropos. And they'll say, well, this is just a parable. Many of them say, these first three chapters are just a parable, not a true story. But in parables, people are not named. This is Hosea that is told to do this. It's not a parable. Or they say, well, this is what one commentator said. Oh, Hosea couldn't imagine that young girl he dated all through high school. You know, they're making it where we can understand. That girl he dated from junior high and all the way to high school, God knew one day she was going to be this way. And so he told Hosea to marry her, God knowing she would be that way, but Hosea not knowing that. Well, that's not what verse number 2 of chapter 1 said. God told him, go marry a woman of whoredoms. He knew what he was getting when he got it. God knew what he was getting in the nation of Israel when he got it. So this is a picture of that. And they had broken God's law and also God's heart. Hosea was put in a position to feel the anguish of the Lord toward an adulterous nation. The anguish of the Lord toward an adulterous nation. And folks, this is not about us. This is not about the United States of America. This is about the nation of Israel. And God's going to, everything he says here, he's going to do with the nation of Israel. But we are an adulterous nation. We who are founded upon the principles of godliness and the principles of the Bible, and the principles of holiness. No, our forefathers were not perfect. They were not angels any more than we are. But they had an honest and sincere fear of God and love for God. But we've come a long way, baby, as the commercial used to say. And it's not been good. So we can learn lessons from the nation of Israel, of God's punishment. But we have no promise of restoration. We have no promise as a nation that God is going to restore us later on. No, our end is just going to be chapter 2. There's no chapter 3 for us. So there are some lessons we can learn, but we've got to remember the context of it. All right, we need to move on. Key words and phrases. Again, we look at these because these always confirm to us that we're on the right track. Something that's mentioned over and over and over again lets us know that's the theme of the book. The term Israel is used 44 times. Pretty good for a 14-chapter book. 44 times the nation of Israel. Remember, Hosea is a prophet. I don't even think we said this. It's in there somewhere. Hosea was a prophet to the northern kingdoms. That's all in there somewhere in the second paragraph. How did I miss all of that? All right. He was a prophet to the northern kingdom from 755 to 715, 40 years, beginning during the reign of Jeroboam. And remember, there's two Jeroboams, one right after Solomon and then this one here, and continuing after the captivity of Assyria, extending into the reign. I'll let you read all that later, okay? But this prophet is preaching to the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. Judah is mentioned, I think, 15 times in 14 chapters. He's not really talking to Judah, the southern kingdom. He's addressing himself to Israel, the northern kingdom, who has really gone a-whoring, and who during his lifetime is going to experience that Assyrian captivity that we read about in 2 Kings. So Israel is the main target. The term Ephraim is used 37 times. Now, who is Ephraim? Boy, we could go into a long study of Ephraim. Ephraim is one of the tribes of Israel. And Hosea singles out that tribe in his diatribe against the nation of Israel. He singles out Ephraim 37 times. Ephraim is a cake half-baked, he says in one place. They're half-baked. All right? Ephraim is joined to idols. Let her alone. Ephraim was the son of Joseph, remember? Born in Egypt. The son of Joseph, born in Egypt. He was raised in the ways of the Egyptians. He was influenced by Egypt. And here, that tribe that came from him was one of the first, along with the tribe of Dan, to go into idolatry. And if you remember Revelation, one of the two tribes not protected during the tribulation period. Whole lot of study in that right there. So Ephraim is one of the ten tribes in the northern kingdom that was particularly odious to God, and Hosea pinpoints them, especially among the people of Israel. All right, the phrases, and we looked at this in chapter 2, I will, and will I, them will I punish, them will I destroy. Those two phrases, I will 57 times, will I 11 times, obviously used 68 times altogether. 68 times. Here's what I'm going to do, God says. I will do this, and I will do that, and I will do this. And they're mostly punishment, but some of them are about that restoration that we'll talk about in a moment. The word whoredom. The words whoredom or whoredoms are used 14 times. The singular or the plural of that word, whoredom or whoredoms. I also mentioned the word whoring. W-H-O-R-I-N-G is used twice in the book of Hosea. So kind of 16 times, that's the focus. That was Gomer's problem, Hosea's wife. And that was Israel's problem, Jehovah's wife. The word return is used 15 times. And that is the plea of Hosea to the nation of Israel. Return. Return to the Lord. Return and come back. And they didn't. During Hosea's ministry, and the Assyrians came in and ended the ten northern kingdoms of Israel. They went into captivity, were dispersed, and have been gone ever since. And now everybody, the great mystery, what happened to the 10 northern tribes? The 10 lost tribes. An overview of Hosea. Chapters 1 to 3, again, these are our two divisions, the first three chapters picture the last 11 chapters. So in chapters 1 to 3, it's the illustration. That's what Hosea is. He is an illustration. He is an object lesson. He is a picture. The illustration, the tragedy in Hosea's household. The tragedy in Hosea's household. Letter A, chapter 1 is about a polluted wife. I really believe if you get this, when you read Hosea next time, this would help you tremendously to know what you're looking at as you get into that. Chapter 1 is all about that polluted wife. She bare him a son, but then she had two more kids that weren't his. Chapter 2 is about a punished wife. A punished wife. I will. These things that Hosea says he's going to do. She's a punished wife. Letter C, a pardoned wife. And we read chapter 3, but it's only 5 verses long. And it is a tremendous chapter. And that is that though she is defiled and though she is filthy, Hosea takes her back, sets her aside for a little while till she's clean of her imperfections, and then will receive her back again at the end. And that's a picture of the Lord God with the nation of Israel. So it's a pardoned wife that's picturing that. Now that leads us to number 2, and that is the application. The illustration in chapters 1 to 3. Now the application, chapters 4 to 14. Everything we just read in the first 3 chapters, that's the key, is now expounded upon in chapters 4 to 14 in applying to the nation of Israel. What happened to the wife now is shown as to the nation, and we're going to have the same thing. Letter A, a polluted nation, chapters 4 to 7. Chapters 4 to 7, Hosea preaches to the nation of Israel that they are that unfaithful wife. They are that nation of whoredoms. They are polluted. Letter B, a punished nation, chapters 8 to 10. A punished nation, just like chapter 2 is a punished wife. Chapters 8 to 10 now are a punished nation. God is going to punish them because of their whoredoms. God cannot let sin go unpunished. He cannot do it. He wouldn't be God if he did. Our sins demand a verdict. Now, if you're saved, your sins were covered by the blood of Christ. So that verdict is upon him. But men have to answer for their sins. So there's a polluted nation, a punished nation, and then letter C, I wonder if you can guess what it is. A pardoned nation, just like letter C above. A pardoned nation. You want some good reading? You want some good news? Read Hosea chapters 11 to 14, especially chapter 14. That's all about the second advent. All right? The return of Christ. When we say second advent, we're not talking about the rapture. We're talking about the revelation. You and I are looking for the rapture of the Lord to come down into the clouds and catch us away. The advent is not when he comes to the clouds. The advent is when he comes all the way down to the earth and sets up his kingdom down here. And that's what Hosea 11 to 14 are about. Not the church. Not the church. That's why those that believe in this replacement theology that the church is the nation of Israel don't believe in the rapture. Because they believe all this Hosea 11 to 14 is when the Lord comes back at his advent and comes back for the church then. And so we see that that's not talking about the church. It's a polluted nation, a punished nation, and a pardoned nation. I hope, if anything, from this brief study tonight, that the next time you come to the book of Hosea and you're reading, you'll say, I can't wait to read that. I remember when we studied that. I know what's going on here. I know about what God told him to do and about Gomer, that wife, and about why God asked him to do these unbelievable things. Hopefully it'll open up the book of Hosea to us as we read and study it and give us an understanding even of things yet to come. The Lord's not done. What? How does that little tiny piece of land surrounded by all those Arab Muslim nations, how does that little piece of land get so much attention? Why is it on almost every newscast? And everybody's obsessed with that little piece of land. I mean, these nations, Syria and everybody that got all this land, that little tiny piece, why are they even worried about it? Well, because they know what this says. And they know that the Lord's coming back to that little piece of land. And when He does, it won't be a little piece of land. It's going to expand. And they're worried about it. They want to try to annihilate it before it can happen. The book of Hosea and the Bible gives us the answer. For all those things, the newscasters don't have a clue what they're talking about. And the Bible gives us all those answers. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The book of Hosea. Father, thank You for this book.